Hello, friend. This is Caleb Succo, and you are listening to the Now is the Time podcast. This is episode two. No, sorry. This is season two, episode eight. And today we are talking about why you do not have assurance of your salvation. But before we do that, let us start with a little Christmas music. I know I played this one before, but I love it. Listen for a second. Here it comes. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ. I don't know. Is there a better Christmas song? It's December, friends, and Christmas is about good news. It is about going and telling it on the mountain. That, friends, that is what we are called to do. And I could just get carried away talking about that in this episode. But I do have a topic for this episode. I want to talk with you about a few reasons why often I see people, I talk to people who are not, who do not have assurance of their salvation, and why that is, and really how you can regain that assurance of your salvation. But as always, before we get into that, I want to share with you just some things that have been going on here. In fact, let me just remind you, if you are not signed up for our newsletter, it would be a good thing to do. And you can do that by going to succofamily.org/prayer, okay? succofamily.org/prayer. And the reason I tell you that is because I did just send out a pretty good update of what's going on here in our life and ministry just a couple of days ago. And so if you got that, then you're probably pretty updated. If not, then you're probably not. And so I don't want to kind of reshare everything that I shared in that last letter. But I am sending out those updates, at least a couple of times a month, sometimes a little bit more often than that. But try and keep those coming out regularly so that you can be aware of what's going on here. And honestly, a lot is going on here. And you know what happens sometimes is that when there's a lot going on, you may even hear a little bit less from me because I'm just busy. And that's probably why this podcast, the last episode was a while ago. And I feel really bad about that. Yeah, it was the end of August. So, wow. And it's December already. So I'm going to do my best to try and be more regular on this podcast because it really is one of my most favorite ways to communicate with you. And I know that there are quite a few of you out there that download it and you got it on your phone or whatever. And I appreciate that so much, but it's really one of my most favorite ways to communicate with you. I think I'm more of a verbal communicator, although I don't know, I write too, so but I do like the podcast. So, all right, updates, what's going on here in the ministry? Where do I want to start? You know, we just had such an amazing church leadership conference. We call it the All Ukraine Biblical Conference. It's a conference for pastors and church leaders. We had about 350 people there, and I was blessed. I mean, I was really blessed beyond words by our speakers this year. And I'm going to be sharing that with you in more detail in two upcoming podcasts, okay? So if you're familiar, you may be familiar with some of these names. Stuart Briscoe, he is a pastor of a fairly good-sized church
in Wisconsin, and he retired about, well, I think about maybe 10, 12 years ago or so, and now he just kind of travels the world with his wife, Jill Briscoe, I think, who has a radio show, and they were so encouraging, talking about the church. Stuart Briscoe talked about what the church is, and just give real foundational aspects to the things that the church is supposed to be doing, like, you know, worship and evangelism and studying God's word and things like that. And also, I was able to sit down with him for a little bit and just talk with him. And here's a guy. He's 86 years old, and he is not giving up on ministry. He's going full forward. I mean, it just blew my mind. So he told me that he started preaching when he was 17, so that he's 86. So he's been in ministry for 69 years. Oh, 16. Wow. I mean, that blew my mind. So what I did was I sat down with him and talked with him about what it means to be faithful in ministry. I mean, it's not very often that you find someone who's active in ministry for 69 years. But here was Stuart Briscoe. So you will hear that interview coming up on a future episode of the podcast. And also, our other speaker was Pastor Gary DeSalvo, who's a pastor of a Temple Bible Church in Temple, Texas. And I talked with him about his cancer. He has a very rare form of cancer. They recently had to remove one of his, I think it's his right eye. And he doesn't have probably does not have a long time to live. Told me, I think, about a 30% chance to survive another, I think, 18 months. So I talked to them, like, you know, how does a Christian respond to that? What does it look like? And just, you know, there's a lot of pain there. I mean, I think he told me 62 years old, you know, still probably felt like he had, you know, quite a number of years left in him, and in the middle of ministry and everything. And so just really honestly shared with me some of the pain and difficulties of coming to terms with that and looking to the Lord in the midst of that kind of prognosis. So I'll be sharing that with you here in a couple of weeks also. But definitely a good pastor's conference that we had, okay? I also spent some time teaching our Roots of Faith Old Testament in Bucharest, where we had a good group of missionaries and some nationals that turned out for that. I was teaching in English, so had to have nationals that spoke English. Let's see, what else is happening or going on? This coming up here, this month, on December 17th, we have a special training. We're training people how to use historical paintings as a tool for evangelism. It's pretty unique and pretty cool. And so we have a guy that's going to be training us that has about a dozen different paintings that depict scenes from the Gospels and from the Bible. And taking people through these excursions through these paintings, telling them about why they were painted the way they were, who the painter was, and as you go through, you share the gospel with them. It's pretty cool stuff. And so we're going to be doing that December 17th here at our church. And also, we're forming a new evangelistic team at our church, and I'm really excited about that. We have some new opportunities, possible opportunities to minister to military here, and so I would appreciate your prayer for us, for me, also, as I kind of head up this team. You know, we can't stop sharing the gospel, and we can't grow lazy in it, and we can't let our hands down and just relax, because the nature of man is to just, you know, do what is comfortable. And friend, let me tell you, sharing the gospel is not comfortable, but it is worth it. It is always worth it. And so that's what we are trying to do here. Let me think. Is there anything else? Okay, that's probably about it for updates. I would say, though, get on our newsletter list if you're not on there, sukofamily.org/prayer. and would love to. Oh, I missed, yeah, like the biggest one. What am I thinking? And since last time I talked to you, this happened too. I spoke at a missions conference for youth back in September. And as a result, I was just thinking about, you know, I get a lot of young people that come with me and say, I feel like maybe God is calling me to missions, but I don't know. Can you help me? How do I answer this question? Is he calling me? Is he not calling me? So I spoke on that at this missions conference to youth in Kremenchug in September. And I was looking at that material and I thought, you know, this is just something that I think would be helpful for a lot of people. And so I kept writing and I kept writing, and I thought I would just make like a little booklet that I put out, and I kept writing, and it sort of just kind of started turning into a book. And so that being said, I'm about 75% through the writing process right now. It's not going to be a big book, but it's going to be 100 pages or so. And it is on God's calling to missions. And so it's called 10 Questions to Help You Determine if God is Calling You to Missions or Not. And so these questions are based out of Isaiah 6, and I really appreciate your prayers for me as I finish up writing that book. And also, I want to ask you to help me, okay? I'm going to be sending out some questions regarded to missions and calling. If you are a missionary or if you know a missionary, I would really appreciate that you help me answer some of these questions, and maybe I'll even put your answers in my book, okay? I really would like to have your help in writing this book. So that is coming out soon, and I will definitely be letting you know about that. If you're on our newsletter list, you'll be the first ones to get news about that book that's coming out, and it will be available on Amazon, for Kindle and to buy regular paper book. So that's the book. I think actually the title is going to be "Is God Calling Me to Missions?" Okay, and 10 questions to help you determine your calling. All right, friends, that's what's going on here. Now I want to turn our attention back to the topic that I said at the beginning here. Assurance of salvation. This is a topic that comes up on, I would say, a pretty regular basis in the ministry, in the church. Oftentimes, it again is younger people that will ask. And recently, I had a conversation with a young woman, and she had some questions. She was kind of just struggling with some things, and I asked her, I said, well, you know, are you sure that you're saved? And she said, well, you know, I used to be really sure, but sometimes I kind of wonder now. And so I talked with her about that a little bit deeper. And one of the things that she told me, and again, this is something common that I see often. She said, well, you know, there was a time when I felt really close to God, but now, I don't know, I go to church and I kind of have lost that feeling. And so I've lost that assurance of my salvation. And so I talked with her about that, and I want to share with you about that too. There are a number of reasons that people often give when they say, you know, I've lost the assurance of salvation. One is that they don't feel close to God anymore. And certainly, I mean, that's a real feeling. You know, I can't tell you, oh, well, no, you do feel close to God. If you don't, I mean, if you don't feel close to God, you don't feel close to God. And that's a problem, okay? Another one is that sometimes people, you know, when they have this loss of assurance of salvation, they look for some sort of event or something like, well, I don't ever remember, you know, saying the Lord's Prayer. I'm not sure if I said the Lord's Prayer correctly. Or, sorry, not the Lord's Prayer, the Sinner's Prayer. I don't know if I said the Sinner's Prayer correctly. Maybe I need to say it again. Or, you know, looking at the specifics for what words they said and how they said it and all this kinds of thing. Also can be another reason that sometimes people say, I'm not sure if I'm saved because I don't know if I repented correctly. I don't know if I said the Sinner's Prayer correctly, okay? Now, those are reasons that people give, but let me share with you now what I just kind of categorize these like seven reasons why you really might not have assurance of salvation. Those are just kind of reasons people give, but seven reasons why people might not have assurance of salvation. And, you know, friend, maybe you find yourself in one of these, okay? But the first reason is very, very simple. You might not have assurance of salvation if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as God and Savior. That's the simplest reason. Now, unfortunately, there are people who have false assurance of salvation. They don't believe, but yet in themselves, they have some sort of false assurance that they are saved, okay? But on the other hand, you know, maybe that lack of assurance is because you actually don't believe. You believe in something else. Maybe you believe in yourself. Maybe you believe in the fact that you go to church. Maybe you believe in, I don't know, some other God, okay? And I think that when we talk about assurance of salvation, that is the first thing we must always run to. What or who do you believe in? Because that really settles it, doesn't it? And if someone does not believe in Jesus Christ, then they should not have assurance of salvation. So that would be the first thing that I would say. People don't have assurance of salvation when they don't believe in Jesus Christ, okay? And if you are ever in a situation where you're counseling someone, they say, well, I'm just not sure. Well, run right to that question first. And I would say, don't make it a simple question. Well, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Well, sure, I believe in Jesus Christ. But probe deeper. Like, what do you mean? Like, what does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in Him that He has the power to take away your sins because of what He did on the cross? And go further and go deeper. Because sometimes you may find that on a surface, there is a surface acknowledgement of that trust. But as you go deeper, there is a misunderstanding of what it means to believe in Jesus, to trust in Jesus, okay? So that's the first reason why someone might not have assurance of salvation is because they don't believe. The second reason why someone might not have assurance of salvation is because they are trusting in their ability to do good deeds. And this is much more common than you might expect. But they're simply looking at themselves and trusting their ability to do good deeds, and they're seeing that they are not always able to do that. And so they lose assurance because they realize that they fall, they sin sometimes, they're not perfect, and so they lose assurance. The third reason why someone might not have assurance of salvation is because they're focusing on some sort of event or experience that they had with Jesus, you know, and this was the case with the young girl I talked to, young woman, where there was some experience where she had where she said, I felt very close to God at that time and now I don't. You know, if you don't feel close to God, that's a problem, and there are certain things that you can do in order to correct that, okay? But if you're basing your salvation on how you feel about God, that is really a problem. And you are going to lose your assurance of salvation for sure. And I said, either an event or an experience. The event would be like, well, I said the Lord's Prayer. Why do I keep saying the Lord's Prayer? The sinner's prayer. I said the sinner's prayer. I repeated this prayer. I went forward. Whatever it may be, some sort of action that I took, some sort of words that I repeated, okay? If you're focusing on that as your assurance of salvation, eventually you are going to lack assurance of salvation because that is not the basis for our salvation, whether we repeated a prayer or went forward or anything like that, okay? The next reason why someone might lack assurance is because they are just simply trusting in a feeling. Now, I talked about this a little bit in the previous one, an event or an experience, right? But just that feeling of, well, I used to feel close to God, but now I don't feel close to God. And, you know, that is a big problem. And I think that more and more in our feeling focused world, that has become more of a problem in the church as well, where we categorize our experience by our feeling, or our faith by our feeling. And we just can't do that because feelings are not stable, and they're not a good basis for assurance, okay? And I realize that that one kind of repeats a little bit of what I had in number four, but or what I had in number three. But number three was focused more on events or experience, number four on feeling. All right, three more reasons why people might lack assurance. The fifth reason is because they're just not studying God's word. You know, the only way to have full confidence and assurance in your salvation is to have full confidence and assurance in God's word. And as soon as you pull away from that, you are sure that, I'm sure, that assurance of salvation is going to dip, okay? And two more reasons. Number six, why you lack assurance is because you're forgetting Jesus. Remember, assurance comes from God's word and from Jesus. From no other place. It can't come from any other place. And so when we forget the work of Jesus, what he has done and what he has promised, we lose our assurance of salvation. And the final reason why you may lack assurance of salvation is because you are continuing in some sort of sin without repentance. And that, friends, can definitely make you doubt your salvation. In fact, it may be a sign that you are not saved. But certainly when we continue in sin and we confess Jesus, we begin to see that there is a hypocrisy between our confession and our lifestyle. And, you know, I haven't really talked with you about many texts of Scripture yet, but I think 1 John is so clear on this. Let me read 1 John chapter 2, because he just sets it out for us. He says, "My little children, I write these things to you so that you do not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Okay, where is the assurance? Not in how well we can behave, but in Jesus Christ, right? "And he himself is the propitiation relating to our sins, and not relating to ours only, but also to all the world. And by this we know that we have known him if we keep his commands." So keeping his commands helps us to keep our assurance of salvation, doesn't it? "By this we know that we have known him if we keep his commands. The one saying, 'I have known him,' and not keeping his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that one. But whoever keeps his word truly is the one the love of God has been perfected. In this one, the love of God has been perfected. By this, we know that we are in him." Again, assurance. We know that we are in him. "The one claiming to rest in him ought so to walk himself as that one walked." So definitely there is a connection between our obedience and our assurance. It is not the basis for our assurance, but if we are not obedient, we cannot have assurance if we continue in sin, right? So let me just give you quickly then four ways to really look for assurance of salvation in your life. And first of all, I think that you need to remember that assurance must always start with the truth of God's word, okay? I, growing up, heard these things like when we talked about assurance of salvation. Well, you know, did you pray and ask God to forgive your sins and basically pray the sinner's prayer. Did you go forward and things like that? And, you know, I tried to think of this, okay, yeah, well, yeah, there was this one time and, you know, but really, friends, when it comes down to it, those prayers may not be said with genuine faith. They might not be said with genuine repentance. And so it can be deceptive for us to just point people back to that kind of event or thing that we did. We have to start with the truth of God's word. We have to start with what it says about man, he's a sinner, with what it says about God, he is perfect and holy, with what it says about Jesus, he lived a perfect life, died for our sins, and was risen from the dead, and with what it says about faith. If we put our faith in him, he will forgive us our sins, okay? That is the confidence, the assurance of our salvation. It starts with the truth of God's word. And if you're lacking that assurance, friend, go back to God's word. Read those texts, okay? Read Ephesians 2. Read John, the Gospel of John. Just read the whole gospel, okay? Don't just read John 3:16 and 17. Like, read the whole thing, okay? Read these promises from 1 John. Understand how God works and what he does. That's where the assurance of our salvation starts with, as we begin to perceive and see and react in faith to the truth of God's word, okay? So assurance starts with the truth of God's word. Assurance exists, and carefully listen to me here, exists exclusively in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. There is no other. There is no other way that you can get assurance except through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for you. It exists exclusively in Jesus' promises and his faithfulness to his word to complete it, that when he said to that criminal on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," that what he said was true because he had the power and the ability to accomplish exactly what he said, and he will do it because he is faithful, okay? Assurance has to be connected with those two things, starting with God's word and existing exclusively in Jesus Christ and his work for us on the cross. So if you lack assurance, look at those two things. Now, there are two additional things that I want to mention here. But again, these are sort of like side effects. These are sort of like outgrowths of these two bases for our salvation, these foundations for the assurance of our salvation, God's word and the work of Jesus Christ, okay? And those two things that come out of that, one is the assurance of our salvation increases as our obedience to God's word increases. And that, again, as we looked at 1 John chapter 2, I think that there was clear teaching there that if we do his will, if we're not living in sin, we're much more likely to have that feeling of assurance because we are able to see that there is a corresponding relationship between how we are living our lives and the confession of faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And that is so important for us to have. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we never sin, but it means that there is a striving in us to be like Jesus. There is a process that is going on within our hearts to make us more and more like him. And that assurance is further supported. This is the second kind of outgrowth of that, is further supported by visible fruit. Okay? So assurance increases through obedience to God's word, and assurance is supported through visible fruit. And what I mean by that is, you know, I think something that Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he exhorts him to make sure that he is paying attention to his life and his doctrine, what he teaches and how he lives, that they would be correct and that they would sync with each other. First Timothy chapter 4, towards the end of the chapter, you can take a look at that. And then he says these words in verse 15 of 1 Timothy 4. Give care to these things, be in these things, in order that your progress may be plain to all. And I think that those are very interesting words. Timothy was a young pastor, you know, and he says, make your progress plain to all. And so when our progress, our spiritual growth is so evident that it's evident to people that are observing our life, you can be sure that you're going to have greater assurance of your salvation. So friends, those are just some things that I wanted to share with you. Don't think about just an experience you had or base your assurance of salvation on a feeling you might have, but base your salvation upon the concrete, unchangeable truth of God's word and upon the amazing, miraculous, completely perfect work of Jesus Christ on the cross for you. If you do those two things, and if you further are able to see some sort of, or further able to see that your life is corresponding in obedience and that there is visible fruit, I'm pretty sure that you will have assurance of your salvation. And that will not only be a blessing to you, but I think you will be able to bless others around you as you tell others about the assurance of salvation that they can have. All right, friends, as we end this episode of Now is the Time podcast, let's just listen in again to a little bit of what we are called to do. Friends, I hope you are able to go tell it on the mountain this Christmas season. If you want to join us supporting the work that we do here in Ukraine, telling God's truth on the mountains here in Ukraine, not literally on the mountains, but as much as we can to as many as we can, I invite you to support the ministry. Go to our website. I just redid the Support Us page on there. We could use your support as we come to the end of the year. So go to the website, sukafamily.org. You can find out how you can support us, either one-time gift, or really appreciate those who give on a regular basis, sacrifice, so that we can continue to tell the good news here in Ukraine. Friends, thank you so much for your love, for your prayers. We appreciate them. Write to me. I try and get back to you as soon as possible. And in the meantime, be blessed.